Hello, Radioland. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. If you enjoy this show or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe, tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. Hello, visitors. Welcome to Chekhov's Audio Museum of Marital Mischief. I'm your gallery guide, Christian O'Neill. In America, Anton Chekhov is revered primarily as a father of modern drama. In his native Russia, however, he's celebrated above all as a master of the short story. Now, Chekhov wrote his four major plays toward the end of his short life. They're filled with provincial angst. Chekhov wrote hundreds of short stories, novellas, and sketches from his medical school days until he died of tuberculosis in 1904. They could hardly be more varied. Chekhov packed a lot of living and writing into his 44 years, from aristocrats to peasants, from mansions to shacks. The sweep of his stories is as massive as Mother Russia herself. Little in the Russia character escaped his notice, especially not marital dislocations and a rapidly changing society. Now, when you first walk into the corridor, you will say, what is this? An 18th century Smith & Wesson revolver. By the looks of it, it must be Chekhov's gun. This may come in handy later. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, our first exhibit. On your right is a balcony overlooking Moscow just before dusk on a summer evening. Vivacious Natalia and her older husband, Vasishka, an upper-level government bureaucrat, are having supper at a small table. Let's listen in.
So, are you happy to be back in Moscow, my love?
Every holiday must come to an end, I suppose.
I wish I could have joined you. But aren't you lucky? You have a husband who stays back in Moscow to make money so you and your girlhood friend can frolic in the Crimea.
If you say so, hubby.
Oh, I insist. Not complaining, just explaining. I hear Yalta is terribly expensive in the summer.
That depends. Yulia Petrovna and I found very comfortable rooms for 20 rubles a day. It all depends on how much you know. Yulia knows quite a bit.
But you couldn't stay in your rooms all day.
Indeed we didn't. On fair afternoons, we'd ride up into the mountains. That meant we'd had to hire horses and guides. That did add up.
I'm sure it did. Was that expense necessary?
Are you kidding? Our safety was at stake, hubby. You wouldn't want your bride at the mercy of every rogue hiding behind every tree and boulder, now would you?
No, I would not.
But Vasichka, the mountains there, you wouldn't believe how high they are. 100 times higher than the highest church. At the top, mist. Mist and more mist. Mist so thick you could eat it with a spoon like Italian ice cream. At the bottom, the stones, enormous stones, stones as big as boulders, stones everywhere as far as the eye could see. And the pines, the pines. I can't bear to think all I've left all that beauty behind.
Did you hire Tatar guides?
Of course, hubby. Tatar horses, too.
I've read a lot about those Tatars. They invaded Russia in the 13th century and haven't yet had the good manners to leave. Did you find anything peculiar about them?
Peculiar, hubby?
Anything out of the ordinary.
What are you getting at, hubby? They were just ordinary Tatars, nothing special. As my papa used to say, when you've seen one Tatar, you've seen them all. but I only glimpsed them in the distance. They were pointed out to me, but I didn't take much notice.
I've read that Tottermen are shameless Don Juans.
Perhaps there are shameless creatures in all walks of life who... What are you getting at, Vasichka?
Nothing, my love. Nothing at all.
Vasichka, I say, if you must know, there are many immoral women in the world. No moral principles at all. And it's not as though they were working class or middle class people. I'm talking about aristocratic ladies who pride themselves on their style and high principles.
Why are you telling me this, Natalia?
It was simply awful. I couldn't believe my own eyes.
What are you talking about?
I shall remember it as long as I live. To think that people can forget themselves to the point where they
Russia
just shake...
Russia is full of people who lack self-control.
Take my companion, Yulia Petrovna, for example. Such a close childhood friend. Such a good husband. Two beautiful children. She moves in a decent circle and always poses as a saint. And then, all at once, would you believe it?
Believe what? I'll try to believe anything you say, my love. Unless I have reason to think otherwise.
Now, hubby, this is strictly entre nous. Promise me you won't tell a soul.
What next? Of course I won't tell.
Honor bright, mind now, I trust
you. Who would I tell?
You must promise.
I promise. Get on with it, Natalia.
Picture this. Yulia Petrovna rode up into the mountains one day. She rode on ahead with her guide. I was a little behind. We had ridden 2 or 3 miles when all at once, Yulia cried out and clutched her bosom.
Her bosom?
Her bosom, hubby. Now pay attention. When she cried out, her Totter put his arm around her waist. If he hadn't, she would have fallen off her saddle. I rode up to her with my guide. What is it? I asked her. What is the matter? Oh, she cried. I am dying. Don't be silly, I said. I feel faint, she kept repeating. I can't go any further. Well, fancy my alarm, hubby. Let's go back then, I told her. I can't go back, she kept wailing. No, Natalia, I can't go back. I shall die of pain if I move another step. I'm having spasms.
Mercy.
She started to pray.
What kind of spasms?
She stopped praying just long enough to ask Suleiman and me to ride back to our rooms to fetch some drops that always do her good.
Stop! I don't quite understand you, my love. You said you had a Tatar guide. Then you said you'd only seen Tatars at a distance. Now you are talking about some Suleiman who was right there beside you.
There you go again, hubby. Always finding fault.
I am not finding fault, my love. I'm just...
I can't endure suspiciousness. It's so stupid.
I am not finding fault. But why say what isn't true? If you rode about with Tatar, so be it. God bless you. They kept you safe. I should be grateful, and I am. But why shilly-shally around about it?
What an odd duck you are, hubby. Imagine that. You're jealous of my Suleiman, and as though I could have ventured into the mountains without a guide and protector.
But I didn't
say... I'd like to see you try it. If you don't know the ways there, if you don't understand, you had better hold your tongue. Yes, hold your tongue, hubby. You can't take a step without a guide there.
So it seems.
None of your silly grins, if you please, hubby. I am not a Yulia. I don't justify her behavior. I don't forget myself to her degree. And I'm not posing as a saint.
I see.
My Suleiman never overstepped the limits. Oh, no, no, no. I saw to that. Now, Mamat Kul used to sit in Yulia's room all day long, and half the night, too. But in my room, when the clock struck 11, I'd issue my marching orders. Suleiman, march, I'd command. Off you go. And my foolish Totter boy would tuck his triumphant tail between his well-formed thighs and depart. I made him mind his P's and Q's, hubby. As soon as he began grumbling about money or anything, I would say, how? What? What? And his heart would jump into his mouth. Oh, his eyes, you know, were ever so large and black, like coals. Such an amusing little Totter face, so funny and silly. You would find him amusing too, hubby.
Don't bet on it.
He said he dreams of moving to Moscow someday. Maybe we could add him to the household staff.
As what, the household eunuch?
That stupid Vasichka. I know what's in your mind. I know what you are thinking. Trust me. I never let my Suleiman overstep his limits. For instance, if we rode deep into the mountains to a waterfall, I would always say to him, Suleiman, ride behind. Do you hear? And he always rode behind, poor boy. Even at the most dramatic moments, when the water was crashing over the rocks with a deafening roar, I would say to him, Suleiman, you must not forget your place. You are only a totter, and I am the wife of a civil counselor.
Ha!
But Yulia, oh, that Yulia. There is no reason, Vasichka, why you shouldn't have a little fun. A little rest from the emptiness of conventional life in Moscow when you're on vacation in the Crimea. That's all right. Have your fling, if you must. No one will blame you, but to take the thing seriously, to get up scenes... No. Say what you like, hubby. I can't understand that. Would you believe Yulia was jealous?
Of whom?
Of me.
But Yulia had... Mom and Mam.
Mam at cool, but she was jealous of me.
I'll believe anything now.
Fancy that? She was jealous. Wasn't that silly? One day, Mam at cool, her grand passion, paid her a visit. She was not in her room. Well, I asked Mam at cool into my room. There was conversation, one thing, then another. The Todders, without exception, are awfully amusing. The evening passed so quickly, and you know what happened then, hubby.
I'm afraid to ask.
Yulia rushed in. She flew at me and at Mom at cool. She made a terrible scene, awful. I just can't understand that kind of thing, Vasichka. Why are you pacing, hubby? You haven't finished your borscht. Sit back down.
You dance to a merry tune in Yalta, I must say.
How stupid that is. If you only knew how stupid you sound. I know what you're thinking. You always think such horrid things. I won't tell you anything ever again. No, I won't.
You won't have to, my love.
Where are you going?
To see my lawyer. First thing in the morning.
Well, fancy that.
Fancy that, visitors. It appears that Vasichka's marriage to Natalia may not have survived the borscht. But we'll never know, will we? Chekhov's short story characters often materialize out of the Russian mist, flourish brightly, then disappear, never to be heard from again. Now, dear visitors, if you would look straight ahead, our next exhibit is the living room of a modest villa overlooking the Black Sea in Crimea. Pasha, an aging and perpetual chorus girl, lives there. She's entertaining a gentleman from Moscow named Nikolai. He sits half-clothed, sipping wine, and fanning himself, while Pasha, wearing a kimono, has stepped into another room. The doorbell rings. What's afoot? Let's find out. Pasha, someone's at the door.
I hear it. Look at you, half naked. Quick, go in the bedroom and take your stockings with you.
Not so fast.
I'm coming. It must be the postman or one of the girls. Now stay out of sight. Yes, madam.
Is my husband here?
Husband?
Don't play dumb with me.
You must have the wrong address, madam.
You know who I am.
But...
My husband, Nikolai Petrovich Kolpakov.
No, madam. I don't know any husband. What does he look like?
You know what he looks like.
I can assure you...
Don't take me for a fool.
I'm not.
So you say he's not here.
What gives you the right to barge in
here? I have every right.
I don't know what you're talking about. I ask you, what right?
Every right, you despicable, vile creature.
I beg your pardon.
You heard me. You are a horrid hussy. I'm glad I can tell you so at last.
But, madam.
3 days ago, I traveled here on a filthy train from Moscow to tell you that.
But...
Where is my husband?
I don't...
Stop! Don't tell me any more lies.
But I'm not...
You should know that some money is missing at the bank. A large sum of money.
I know nothing of the sort.
The police are looking for Nikolai Petrovich to arrest him.
I can assure you, madam,
that... It's only a matter of time until they find him.
Madam, please, sit down and calm yourself.
No buts about it. He stole the money for you. You loathsome mercenary hussy.
Look here. You can't just barge in.
I'm helpless, I tell you. Do you hear me? My children are helpless.
You are stronger than we are. But there's a power far beyond your wicked reach. The power of righteousness. God sees all. God is just. He'll punish you for every tear I've shed, for all my sleepless nights, for robbing my sweet children of their father. Your time will come.
Oh, I wish I could help you, madam, but there's been some horrible mistake.
You can help me. You can start by telling the truth. I've known about you and Nikolai Petrovich for a long time. I know that since I arrived from Moscow 3 days ago, he's been living here, spending all his time with you.
Well, what if he has? What of it? I have a great many visitors, but I don't force anyone to come here. Gentlemen are free to go and come as they like.
Even when they're embezzlers?
I know nothing.
Do you understand what I'm telling you? For the sake of such a vile creature as you, for your sake, Nikolai Petrovich has committed a crime. You have no morals. You live to do harm. That's your sole object in life, to live off other people and destroy them. Have you fallen so low you have no feeling left? No decency? Nikolai Petrovich has a wife. Me! He has 3 beautiful children. If he's sent to Siberia, we'll starve.
But what can I?
You can save me and my children from destitution and disgrace if I can restore the missing 900 rubles. First thing Monday morning, I feel sure the bank will drop the matter. Only 900 rubles.
What? 900 rubles? I know nothing about 900 rubles. I didn't take it. I haven't seen it.
I'm not asking you for 900 rubles. I don't want your money. I'm asking you for something else. Men give expensive things to women like you. Just give me back the things my husband gave you.
Madam, your husband has given me nothing but his kindness.
You're lying.
Madam, I...
Where is the money he embezzled then? It wasn't his to give. What has become of it?
I know nothing about it. You should ask him.
In the name of all that's holy, give me back the things he gave you. Said a lot of nasty things to you. I got carried away. I apologize. You must hate me, I know, but if you are capable of any compassion, put yourself in my position.
I would, with pleasure, but with God as my witness, he never gave me anything.
Blasphemy! May God strike you dead.
Believe me, on my conscience. No. Wait a minute. I do recall now. Right after we met, Nikolai Petrovich did bring me 2 little things. Trinkets, really. Certainly I'll give them back, if you wish.
Trinkets? You're lying. I want everything back.
Very well. I'll give the trinkets back. Now where is the key to that little drawer?
How would I know?
Here it is. In its warm nest. Next to my heart.
What heart?
Here they are. A bracelet and a ring. Obviously fake.
But these are mine. I thought I had lost them.
Madam, I didn't ask Nikolai
Petrovich. Oh, God, he was stealing from me, too.
How was I to know?
These are not fake. But they're not 900 rubles either. I want the other things as well. I'm not asking for charity. I'm just asking for what doesn't belong to you. Just return what you have squeezed out of my husband, that weak, unhappy man.
Madam.
Don't you madam me.
But
don't you butt me either. I've been here since Thursday. On Friday night, when I saw you with my husband at the harbor, you were dripping with expensive brooches and bracelets. It's no use playing the innocent lamb. A lamb's clothing doesn't become a devourer of other women's husbands. I ask you one last time, will you surrender the things he gave you or not?
You're a queer one, I must say. Except for that bracelet and that little ring, I've never seen a thing from your Nikolai Petrovich. He brings me nothing but sweet cakes in his kind regard.
Sweet cakes?
Little sweet cakes. Very little. Tiny. Hardly sweet at all.
And this bottle? You wash those sweet cakes down with this, his favorite wine.
It's a common label, madam.
My children may have nothing to eat for the rest of their young lives. And you eat sweet cakes and get drunk? You disgust me.
Please believe me. They're hardly sweet at all.
Oh, what's to be done now? If I don't get 900 rubles, he's ruined. The children are ruined. I'm ruined. What should I do? Kill myself?
Of course not.
Kill you?
Oh, please.
Or should I fall to my knees and grovel for what is rightfully mine? You'd like that, wouldn't you? Is that what you want?
Madam, I don't wish you any pain.
Then I beg you. You've plundered my husband. You can save him now. You can save his sweet, innocent children in their hour of peril. What have my children done to deserve this?
Nothing, madam. Oh, your poor children, standing in the street, crying with hunger. I can't stand the thought.
I knew you would come to your senses.
What can I do, madam? You say I'm a low woman. You say I have ruined Nikolai Petrovich. But I assure you, before God Almighty, I have taken nothing from him except that bracelet and ring.
Don't forget the sweet cakes.
What?
The damn sweet cakes! The sweet cakes, you hussy!
Oh, the sweet cakes. Oh, only one girl in our course has a rich admirer, and all the rest of us have to live hand to mouth on bread and brandy and kind regard.
And sweet cakes, you fool.
Yes, well, Nikolai Petrovich is an educated, refined gentleman. What if I had made him feel welcome? I'm not in line for sainthood. We're bound to make gentlemen comfortable to make ends meet.
You're wasting my time. You are trying my patience. You have me crying. You have me humiliating myself. Again, must I go down on my knees? I will, if you wish it.
Oh, no.
But I must.
Madam, please don't.
Don't tell me what. It's my children's lives you are ruining. I'll fall to my knees if I want to.
Oh, madam, let me help you. Please, stand up.
Get your hands off me.
But
then your duty is clear.
Very well. I will give you things. Here. There. Two hands full. Only these are not from Nikolai Petrovich. I got them from other gentlemen.
But
take them and grow rich. And if you are a lady, his lawful wife, you should keep them to yourself. I should think so. I never asked him to come here. He came of his own accord.
This isn't everything. There won't be 500 rubles worth here. There's more, much more in that drawer.
Here! Take it all! I've nothing left. You could search all you want. I've nothing left but my dignity.
I'm claiming only what's mine.
Now get out of my house. Get out of my life.
Don't worry. I'm going. I just hope I can make it back to the bank in time.
Good riddance! Oh my God! Nikolai Petrovich!
Oh, I'm glad it's over. I heard every word.
What presents did you make me? When, pray tell?
Presents? Oh, no matter. My God, she cried before you. She humbled herself.
I'm asking you, what presents did you give me?
My God, she, a lady, my wife, the mother of my children, so proud, so pure, so beautiful. She was ready to go down on her knees to you.
She did fall to her knees.
You hussy. And I've brought her to this. I've allowed it. I shall never forgive myself for this. Never in all eternity.
But, Nikolai...
Get your hands off of me. Get away, you. You Jezebel. Oh, my God, just think. She went down on her knees just to save me. My guardian angel. She bowed before you. Oh, my God.
Where are you going?
To Moscow, never to return.
No, stay.
You're mad.
Oh, my God. I'm ruined. What have I done? No more sweet cakes. What's to become of me now?
What indeed? With no more sweet cakes, Pasha's future surely will be bleak. But what if Nikolai weren't an embezzler at all? What if Olga's tale of marital woe was just one big ruse to... Well, it's just too terrible to contemplate, isn't it? That's the story Chekhov might have written, but didn't. Oh, good heavens, what time is it? Oh dear, it's getting late, and the exhibits are about to close. Well, I'm afraid that concludes our gallery tour this evening. Oh my, Chekhov's gun. We never did get to use it. What a shame. Oh, I have an idea. Why don't you come visit us again next week? I have a very special exhibit to show you. Until then, thank you for visiting Chekhov's Audio Museum of Marital Mischief. This is your gallery guide, Christian O'Neill, bidding you farewell. TTFN. Chekhov's Audio Museum of Marital Mischief is a collection of Chekhov short stories adapted for audio presentation by Roy Proctor. Tonight's cast consisted of Rhonda Lemon as the wife Natalia and Nat Conti as her husband Vizichka in the first exhibit, Trip of the Tongue. Stephanie Turner starred as Pasha, Laura Garfinkel as Olga, and some person of no importance as Nikolai in the last exhibit, The Chorus Girl. All the sound effects for tonight's show were produced live at the studio, except for the orchestra, because, as I have been told, quote, we can't afford that. Do you have a radio play or a stage play that can be adapted to radio? You can submit it to the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour for a chance to hear your play performed live on the air. The CPF Radio Hour can produce full productions or cold readings of short, original plays. For more information on submitting your work, visit www.caryplaywrightsforum.com, click on the Upcoming tab, and click on CPF Radio Hour. The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour is brought to you by the Cary Playwrights Forum, where creative minds come to play. The Cary Playwrights Forum meets the third Wednesday of every month to read new original plays in various stages of development. Local playwrights and actors are invited to drop in, share their talents, and share their feedback. If you're listening to the show through a podcast, you're listening to the polished, edited version of this show. If you listen to the show live, you get to hear all the bloopers, mistakes, and awkward moments that make live theater so magical. So, to listen to the show live, tune in to the live stream on WCOMFM.org website between the hours of 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. every Tuesday night. The live stream play button is on the homepage. Well, that seems to be all the time we have for tonight. A special thanks to playwright Roy Proctor and guest performers Rhonda Lemon, Nat Conti, Stephanie Turner, and Laura Garfinkel. This has been the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Good night, and break a leg.